my husband argue all the time, constantly, flat out. Anybody in a relationship or a marriage, yes, it's normal. You always argue. I think the time that we argue the most, though, is when we're on holidays. I like on holidays, like family summer holidays, I liken them to childbirth, because you kind of forget about all the pain, and you'd be like, will we go again? Let's go on a family holiday. It'll be lovely and relaxing. Well, let's fuck. Family holidays aren't relaxing. Not with children. And not with a husband that turns on the fucking Dora the Explorer as soon as you check in. Has anybody else got one of those? What? As soon as we check in, my husband's on his maps like, it says if we walk 2 kilometres up here, I'd want to walk 2 kilometres up here. We're on holidays, why'd I want to walk anywhere? I don't want to walk on holidays. Holidays are for relaxing. I want to lie in a lounger with a cocktail and ignore my children like a fucking normal person.
So, part 2 of Support Together, Fill Your Cuppa podcast. Fill your cuppa. Was there many in here tonight that got to fill their cuppa with wee sweets? Does anybody know what fill your cuppa means? No? I'll tell you then. So as part of our charity, we find whenever mummies come in through their journey to us, that they're working from an empty cup. You're pouring out for everybody else and your own cup is completely drained. And in order to become well, and in order to gain back a wee bit of control and have wellness in your house, you have to have a full cup.
So you have to start looking at self again.
Yeah, find yourself.
What are you not doing for self?
So on stage now, I am joined by wee Gem Casty on my right. Very, very rare. Gemma, you're always on my
always
left.
Always on the other side. Yeah.
I know.
Hello.
So we have Gemma on my right, and I have two fabulous S2 mummies. Standing tall and shining bright. I have Anya and Zara. These two ladies are well on their journey to recovery, from recovery to discovery. We're going to speak now in the second part about how they fill their cuppa, the importance of keeping your cuppa filled. And our podcast, if you've listened to the podcast that we've put out, we're now in season 3, episode 3. It's 33 episodes going out now already, because we can chat. So as part of our format, the second half of the podcast is always about how we keep, how me, Gemma and Una, and
how we keep ourselves well.
How we keep ourselves well, how we fill our cuppa. And we're just going to give you a wee example, some ideas of how the girls fill their cuppa, and how they've got to where they are today. Are you just going to lift the microphone and speak? Or?
Yeah. There you go. Who wants to go first?
That's okay, Zara. I'll go first. I'll take one for the team.
Oh, it'll be grand. How do you fill your cuppa?
I run. And anyone that knows me knows I love to run. So that's...
You're not mentally running, you're physically running.
No, I am physically pounding them roads.
Yeah. She mentally run for long enough.
Yeah, I did that too. But I go to Drumore Runners on a Monday night, and that is my non-negotiable in the week. Mm-hmm. Like, if I don't get to that... the form wouldn't be Tara. So if I go to that on a Monday night, that's setting me and the kids up for just a nice week. Like, anyone that knows me knows that my husband works away all week, so I solo parent Monday to Friday.
4 children?
Yeah, I have 4 kids.
4.
And they're lovely, but the two middle two are a bit nuts. And the just girls that are laughing know them, so they're like, yeah, we know.
We love them, but they're a little bit crazy.
Yeah, so it's... So Monday nights is like me and my eldest girl gets to come with me, and she loves it and I love it, but it's time out for me. Like, she can do in the runs herself with her friends, but I just get to go and I run for an hour. And I'm like, oh, right, that's okay. Monday's bait. Let's start the week off on the right foot. Yeah. But I have to wait till Monday night.
I know. Yeah. But that's exercise for you then.
Yeah, exercise for me is a big... That's how I fill my cup.
Right. If I take you back to a time when you weren't filling your cup...
Oh, God, I wasn't...
Tell me the difference.
I was just shutting myself off from everything. I wasn't going anywhere. When I was pregnant with Era, I walked every day. But then when I got pregnant with Coon, I barely left the house. Mm-hmm. I was like, no, I'm fine. I'm fine. But I was so far from it. But it isn't like, I was just saying to Gemma there, literally just before I come on the stage, the photograph of me and Era, when I first come to the group, Era was 5 weeks. Mm-hmm. And looking back at that photograph, I remember holding her, she's only a wee toot. And I just see my face, I'm like, oh my God, it's just shell.
Yeah.
Like, it didn't even look like me. You know, and then when I see myself, even 12 months, we'd done that photograph 1 year after, and it was even a totally different person.
Yeah.
But even to now, she's different again.
Mm-hmm. And now you have another one?
Yeah, well, of that too.
She doesn't know what's happened or what's causing it either.
There's no TVs in my house. No, like, I've had Coon since then, and now I'm way more aware of, right, I'm not feeling great. What's wrong? Right, what do we need to do here?
And it wasn't an overnight thing. It was a journey.
No,
like,
no.
I first started my role whenever you were just coming
into the
charity.
When I just started, you were still a volunteer.
Yeah, and I was employed. And then to see you from where you were to where you are now is night and day.
Yeah.
And just the understanding you have of yourself.
And the importance of yourself.
Well, that's it. You have to love yourself. And I know it probably sounds a bit vain, but if you don't and you're in this journey, it's very, very hard to get to the other side of it all. Mm-hmm. Like, I know I said it in the article during the week, there is light at the end of the tunnel. Mm-hmm. But even 12 months ago, I definitely didn't see that light.
No.
And I had been in the charity 12 months at that stage. Mm-hmm. Whereas now I'm like, okay, no. Like, even in the last few weeks, the kids had been sick and it had just been really busy. And I sort of pulled myself back a bit. But that was me protecting me because they were sick and there was no hope of me taking them out.
But that was you. You've learned to cocoon yourself.
Yeah. Yes, I said,
like,
right.
That's okay.
Yeah, you know,
so
the boundaries.
And then I'm like, right, connect in. Look, mm-hmm. kids aren't well. Me taking them out, that's just going to annoy everybody, and it would annoy me more. So I was like, no, just stay at home for a few weeks till everybody gets sorted, and then it was Halloween. And it was fine,
yeah.
But I genuinely was okay because I was still doing things that I needed for myself throughout the week.
Yeah, absolutely.
But 12 months ago, I would have just kept going.
Filling your cup in different ways.
Different ways. It's not always running, but running's the big one.
Yeah.
Sometimes it is, Kira, I need a phone call. I need to talk. Mm-hmm. And that would fill my cup. Might only be
talking to me. Imagine talking to me is filling
never get
on
off
your
the
cup.
Feckin' phone.
Me or her?
You. I'm only joking, Kira.
She's not.
But imagine talking to somebody is enough sometimes to fill your cup. It's communication. It's somebody listening. I can't give advice. I can't tell you what to do, but I can give you a listening ear. And sometimes that's the major part of what we do in Sport Together, is we're a listening ear for somebody.
Well, sometimes that's all you need.
Yeah.
Anybody can listen, but you need to feel like you're heard.
Yep.
Like what you're saying and what you're feeling is validated. Mm. Yes, my feelings might sound silly, but they're still my feelings, and that is how I'm feeling in the moment. Mm-hmm. And to know that you're validated in that, you're just like, right, I'm not going crazy.
Yeah.
Well, just a wee bit.
Now, I also know that you're a big podcast fan.
You
listen to our podcast.
No jokes. All jokes aside, literally.
The girls here barred me from telling any jokes tonight.
Yes, love my jokes.
Well, no, last week's ones were very questionable.
You still laughed?
I don't know if it was laughing more like, what?
Okay, it's just, you don't get it.
I don't think anybody did.
Up now, Anya. The jokes are good.
They're made.
Jokes are good. Who was that?
Yes.
My jokes are good, Emily. Swap Emily up here. Come on up here, Emily.
Come on up, Emily.
Zara, I haven't forgot you there now.
Oh, okay.
You're next.
Okay.
How do you keep your cup of filled?
I keep my cup of filled by blowing up balloons.
Plenty of them.
Yeah.
You don't balloon, you don't actually like...
No, I did that years ago. Got a machine now.
No, that's good.
Helpful.
That's good, because you'd be way lightheaded if you did it. Jesus, though. She'd be seeing stars. So you blow up balloons?
Yep. Make party signs, birthday balloons, just blowing up balloons happily.
And you actually done the balloons for us tonight at the front door and alongside the sponsor board. You've done an amazing job.
I don't know. Well, they were blown up last night. Well, 1-year-old and 4-year-old on the counter handed me the balloons. Yeah. So it's a
That's
family event.
Yeah, but sure, them girls are part of here. So, you know, really, you should have brought them with you.
Do you want them?
I could have nursed them all night long. This is just something you've started, though, being creative.
Yes and no. From the first, like from Ali I was born, I did balloons, but that was by mouth and they were shite. I'm no professional, like I do it for fun. But yeah, my 30th, so April, I made a wee Facebook page and was like, come on my journey, because balloons clear my head even when they pop, which scares the life out of everybody. But yeah, it's just, you start off with a bag of balloons and then you have a nice display. And it's usually for kids' parties or the odd christening, you just land up and decorate their house and make drink tea.
I just wonder why there's more balloons.
I know. But no, it's the smile at the end, because, like, I know planning birthday parties and planning christenings and everything, you've about 50 things to do, and if you can just, give me your colour scheme and I'll do the rest, don't worry about it.
Yeah, but you have the eye for the design.
I love doing it.
Just, that's you being creative, like, that's you. Because Zara's actually a theatre nurse. So, like, theatre nurse handing you a scalpel and then she's at home blowing up balloons. There's a world of difference there. Just a wee, like, you know, just a wee bit.
I know, but it's all, like, clinical. You have to have it planned out. If you tell me your colour scheme and what you're doing, I'll have everything planned out to
so
a tee.
It's very structured and you can see the end product.
Our wee display at the bottom of the stairs is a garden with sunflowers, because our whole ethos is, like, you plant the seed for us to grow as people.
Yep.
So that's our wee garden at the front.
Just wonderful. You had me second crying over there.
Where's you now? We're planting seeds up here, you know, we're planting seeds. We need some water. So both girls, she's been in agreement about how important it is to keep your cup of filled.
Yeah, definitely.
Is chatting to me here again? As well. I'll never get used to this. I'm not. I'm going to throw something out here. Jim. What have you done to fill your cup of this week?
Cleaned up shite all week. eight puppies.
Oh my god.
And my doggy gave birth to, they're 5 weeks now, so that's, I feel like I'm, Jesus, they've emptied my cup to be down here. But no, I suppose filling my cup this week has just been spending time with my son Padraig, which I love doing, and playing games with him, and you know what I mean. Just wee bits like that.
Yeah.
So but I haven't had much time. This week I've been flat out. So we've been very busy behind the scenes, but I will fill my cup up more next week because it's a wee bit down.
Will you fill your glass up tonight?
Plenty. Plenty. I will be on a dance floor down there later on.
Way on down there, just here?
Just way down there, nobody can see me.
Well, I'm going to have to ask myself how I fill my cup up, because nobody's going to ask me how I
do. How do you fill your cup up?
How do you fill your cup up?
Copper.
This week, how did you do?
This week? Actually, you know what, I was naughty and took a wee couple of days off from the gym last week, and I went back this week. Although I couldn't walk after it, when I say look like I couldn't hardly move my feet and my legs and my back and my ass and my arms. Everything was, even my eyeballs was sore. That was from crying.
At least they weren't sweating.
And she's down there. She's down the floor somewhere. Aye.
Oh, there's
it's bad. It's bad. So exercise is how I fill my cuppa. And it's how I clear the head and what keeps me sane.
It's a bit of you time too.
And Eamon, he's over there somewhere. He knows it's a non-negotiable. Kira's away. And I don't care who's keeping the children, I'll be going.
Did you say you have four wains whenever they're together?
I have four wains. At 5:30, I'm standing at the door, tapping the fingers, and towel in one hand, bottle in another. Where are you? Because I'm leaving, I'm going straight over.
Yeah, you've got the itch on.
But I see a benefit of it because it's helping you physically and mentally. Mm-hmm. Probably for me, more so mentally.
Yeah.
because I eat too much then, like, you know, the gym. But it's definitely mentally. So that's me filling my cup all day long.
Brilliant.
Even though I'll give out that I can't walk.
I'll be sure you will let you away with that.
It's a good sore. It's not a bad sore.
Self-inflicted left, but I would never let you away with it.
Why not?
Because running, I was not built for speed.
You don't have to run fast, you can just run slow.
No.
You did run the bit of Loma 5K.
See?
No.
She's signed up for the next one.
I don't know.
So. Oh, wait, you signed up for the half marathon that sold out? Is that what you're doing? Oh, Mrs. O.
I'm not running again.
No, I get you.
You were out at the last time.
I'm not running another. Emily, I'm not running another 5K.
Emily says yes.
I'm not even going to walk.
If she does it, you have to do it too, Emily.
No.
Oh, there we go.
So,
Lion.
That's just a wee snippet, folks, about how we fill our cuppa and the importance of filling your cuppa. Our podcast and, well, there's no cuppa here, but you can see the cups on the stage. And support together our cup of tea is very important. It's not just because it might be the first hot cup of tea you've got in weeks, but it's a hug. Sometimes a new mummy coming in to us can hide behind that cup of tea and it'll start a conversation. Any of the mummies that are here in the front rows will tell you when they come to the office, we make them their first cup of tea. You can make tea all day long after that day yourself, but the first cup of tea, our first cup of coffee is made for you. Isn't that right, Gears?
There you make it.
Yeah. There's no fruit in the office. It's chocolate and Mickeys and bums. That's why I can hold the weight. That's why the gym's no good to me, because I have to keep feeding the mummies. I can't go in there and eat fruit and use chocolate. That's not fair, Nick.
Oh, absolutely.
So that's why
you're thinking of the kids.
So it's the importance of filling your cuppa and the message behind filling your cuppa.
And I hope all you ladies tonight are filling your cuppa.
Yeah.
These are all out tonight for a good cause.
It doesn't have to take £1 million. It doesn't have to be something that's costing a fortune. Sometimes it is just lifting the phone and having a conversation with your friend. Sometimes it is
just standing out in the fucking front doorstep and just breathing.
A bit of fresh air.
Yeah.
This is Fill Your Cuppa, the Support Together live podcast special. And we couldn't bring the podcast to you today without the help of our podcast sponsors. Alongside our podcast sponsor, Supreme Motors, we couldn't have made this event possible without the amazing support of Telestec and JMG Systems. Our friends at Alliance Kingdom, Clarity Scannon, Lisa Stevenson, Mind and Body Practitioner, and Ita McAndrews, Women's Wellbeing. Wee thing of me ear here, and there's a boy talking to me. It's wild her ear.
She has nothing in her ear. Bar a wee bit of wax.
He's whispering sweet nothings to me, so he is. And he's no socks on. Is there anybody that has a question for Serena or for the stage? Jesus. Oh!
You want to stand up in that lovely glittery dress?
Yeah?
How long? How long? We're going to get you a mic. She's lost her phone. Where's my phone? Katie's coming with a mic to you, so the creator.
These two must have fucking fell asleep or something.
I know.
Quicker.
Are they at the bar? Bet you they're away at another bar. They're in the toilet.
In case they come back.
They'll sit in the stage.
Can I ask you, how did you overcome your postnatal depression, you know, with your child that you obviously had, you know, and to get where you are today, like, is a major step for any mommy, and like definitely for every girl here in the room that has children. It's a massive thing, because to me, being a mommy can be the best job in the world, but it also can be the loneliest. But how did you overcome your postnatal depression?
Medication. Antidepressants. That was the only thing, and I was fighting it. They kept offering them to me. They were like, "We think you need antidepressants." I was like, "No, I'm not. I'm not depressed. I don't have anxiety." Because in my mind, postnatal depression or any kind of depression was
me sitting in the room in the dark crying, whereas I was the other end of the scale. I was hyperactive. I was a different kind of postnatal depression. And then the anxiety then. And after about, I'd say, 4 months, 5 months of being on antidepressants, it was like a fucking light bulb moment. It was mad. A weight just lifted off my shoulders. And I was raging that I'd pushed back on taking them for so long. I wish I had done it earlier.
Any more questions down there? They're wagging down the back too. How are you doing down there?
Thank you so much for your time today. I love your honesty about the kind of obstacles you had when you went into business for yourself. And I appreciate you're trying to protect people from ended up with seducing you in vain. But what would you say to women who really want to be more than they are already? What are the words of encouragement you would give them to, like, you know what? You're so worthy. You're not just a mummy. You're not just a woman. And what would you give to them to say, like, go and chase your dreams?
I think there's loads of kind of quotes we can fire at people and be like, you know, you've got this, you're a bad bitch, and all that there, like cheesy Instagram shit. But it's very person dependent. Like, I would never just kind of shout out any blanket encouraging advice. We can all go on the internet and look up motivational quotes and stuff. If you're talking personally, I think the first thing I would do is ask you what your goals are, because that's what I have to do to myself. I have to get very objective on it. And what you'd said at the start was making a mother feel that she can be more than she is. Again, that's very personal, because she probably already is beyond everybody else's expectations, but she's not feeling like she is herself personally. So I think there's a lot to do there with self-reflection and actually what she's doing. And going back to, if she has a goal and she does want to achieve her dreams and she wants to think big, fucking do it. But within objectively looking and breaking that down into smaller goals and an actual time frame, but knowing overall that you can do it. But again, it would be very person dependent, and obviously it depends on their goals. Like, if somebody was to say, no, it's my dream to ride Tom Hardy, I'd be like, you know, that could happen. You know, let's look objectively and see, you know, what we need to do to get you to that point. I believe in you. But it would just depend. I'm really like, and it comes from working in the corporate world, it's one of the good things I've brought with it. I get very objective on things, and I try to kind of break everything down into a list rather than thinking big and dreaming big. It's what's going to benefit me at the time. But very much so, if anybody's feeling that they need to be more than they are for other people, no, you fucking don't. No. You're enough as you are.
Have we time for one more question?
Yeah. One more?
What, there's the very back there, Kitty, they're waving at you.
Poor Kitty.
Run, faster than that. Forward. I have to get a look at you now when you've come this far. Come on up to the stage.
Come on up.
Oh, it's going to make a noise now. Hello.
You have a bit of competition for local celeb here.
Yep. She's not going to beat me. It's all right.
I've seen you before.
Fantastic.
Oh. So I'm a very independent woman. Not everybody is. Mm. They really are. My question is, do you have any regrets?
In what sense? Like professionally, personally?
Personally, professionally.
I think I worked too hard. I worked hard. I mentioned I have a regret about my daughter. I worked too hard. I was just graduated and thought that I needed to do everything, and I needed to be the one staying late, and I needed to be the one going, I'll do the business meeting in London, and I did not. And it was just for personal gain. I didn't put her first.
But how's that made you a better person?
It's made me a better parent. It's made me a better parent. Definitely a better person. I wish everybody could understand that they don't need to give blood, sweat and tears to be successful.
But it's something, Serena, you've spoke to us about. You're working on that every day. We all are.
Aye.
And the mummies we work with, every day you're working and trying to do the best we can. And it's how we are at that time in our lives.
Yeah.
We only can do the best. As you said earlier on, there's no such thing as perfect.
No.
It's enough. Mm. I'm enough.
Yeah.
Isn't it?
Good enough parenting. That's what I learned.
Yeah, good enough parenting is right.
Good enough.
My siblings growing up got caught at every fucking thing you can think of. And I mean everything. And I'm second from the youngest. They got caught at smoking, drinking, minor arson, being part of the Hanson fan club. They got caught at absolutely everything. So much so that it got to the stage for me to rebel when I was around 14, 15. My ma had it with every one of us. She was done with the bullshit. Done. And I was like, it's not fair, mommy. I want to go in a sleepover. All my friends are going in a sleepover. Just because they get caught at everything doesn't mean I have to suffer. She's like, I don't give a fuck. You're in at 9 o'clock and that's it. You're not going anywhere. I'm done. I'm done with all these. And I begged her. I begged her. Day in, day out for 2 weeks to let me go to the sleepover. To the point I wind her down, she says, fine. And I was like, yes. So I got to go on my very first sleepover, which wasn't really a sleepover. It was a house of friends of ours. Their parents were away and they had a free house and we got buckfast and we got cider. And it was the best night of my life until somebody got murdered 3 doors down. And I had to be brought home at 14 by the police and an inspector because I was too young to interview at the party. And I remember coming down, like, in the path to the house going, I'm so fucked. Why the fuck? I'm so fucked. And it was because I was being brought home by police, but mainly it was because my father is a paranoid schizophrenic and I knew as soon as he set eyes on the cops, it wasn't going to be about me. It wasn't going to be, what did you do? It was going to be him thinking, what are you fucking blaming me for doing? As if they're trying to frame him for killing Margaret Thatcher or something. And my dad came to the door and he was on high alert, just fucking standing, just like, get on, trying to keep the cops, like, get on. I was holding up, they have to come in. My ma's standing, smoking a cigarette, biting through it, just all, you're fucked, I swear to God, you're so fucking fucked. See, when I get you are so fucked, I trusted you, you were the one I trusted, no, you're all full of shit, you're biting through it. At the one stage, it was only the brown part left, you're so fucked, I swear to God, you're so, so fucked. And we went down to the kitchen, and the inspector starts asking me questions, like, did you see anybody leave the party? If so, what time? Did you see anybody come into the party? If so, what time? My dad's sitting there going, no comment, no comment. She said, no comment, no comment. No fucking comment. See, if I wasn't a suspect before, I'm now. And he's checking out to see if the other policemen are putting listening devices in the economy saving. My ma's cracking up, all Patty, would you just fucking go to bed? So the cops finally left and my ma gave me dad about 10 diazepam, so he went to his bed. I never really understood his illness when I was younger. Never really understood it. I just remember always being really jealous that he'd more imaginary friends than I did. I was like, why the fuck?
This is Fill Your Cuppa, the Support Together live podcast special. And we couldn't bring the podcast to you today without the help of our podcast sponsors. Alongside our podcast sponsor, Supreme Motors, we couldn't have made this event possible without the amazing support of Telestack and JMG Systems. Our friends at Aladdin's Kingdom, Clarity Scanning, Lisa Stevenson, Mind and Body Practitioner, and Ita McAndrews, Women's Wellbeing.
And produced by 9874 Creative.